Let's all go on an urban safari, we might see some illegal migrants. Oi, look, there's a chap, that means council has done violent. He's got a hoodie on, give him a hug. A second thoughts, don't, you don't wanna get mugged. Oh shit, too late, that was kinda dumb. Whose idea was that? Stupid. He's got some front, APU. Be the joker, play the fool. Politics, ain't it all? Smoke and mirrors, April Fools. All year round, all in all, just another brick in the wall. Get away with murder in the schools. Use four letter swear words cause we're cool. We're all drinkers, drug takers. Every single one of us runs the herb. Keep on believing what you read in the papers. Council estate is gone with the herb. Thinking of a life on the council estate is from a thing you ever read about it or heard. But it's all true, so stay where your safe is. There's no need to step out the burbs. Truth is here, we're all disturbed. We cheat and lie, it's so absurd. Feed the fear, that's what we've learned. Fuel the fire, let it burn.
Oi, I say oi, what you looking at, you little rich boy? We're poor, brown hair, run home and lock your door. Don't come round here no more, you could get my boy. Real, yeah, because my mind is ill. My mind is ill. For real, yeah, you know my mind is ill. My mind is ill.
You could get lost in this concrete jungle. Springing up out of nowhere. Take the wrong turn down a one-way junction. Find yourself in the hood, nobody goes there. We got an eco-friendly government. They preserve our natural habitat. Built an entire Olympic village around where we live about. Pulling down any flats, give us free money and we don't pay any tax. NHS, healthcare, yes please, many thanks. People get stabbed round here, there's many shanks. Nice knowing someone's got a back when we get attacked. Don't bloody give me that, I lose my temper. Who closed down the community centre? I killed time there, used to be a member. What will I do now till September? School's out, rules out, get your bloody tools out. London's burning, I predict a riot. Falling, fall out, who knows what it's all about. What did that chief say? Something about the Kaisers. Kids on the street, now they never miss a beat. Never miss a cheap feel when it comes their way. Let's go looting, no not looting. The high street's closer, cover your face. And if we see any rich kids on the way, we'll make them wish they stayed inside. There's a charge for congestion, everybody's gotta pay. Do what brothers does, rob them blind. Politicians, you bloody rich kids never listen. There's no such thing as broken Britain. We're just bloody broke in Britain. What needs fixing is the system. Look, shop windows down and bricks. The riots on the television. You can't put a fool in prison.
And that was Plan B with Ill Manners. Welcome to the Circled A Show on 107.7 Resonance FM. Yadette, your usual host, is taking a well-earned break. My name's Janie. You might recognise me from the International Women's Day episode of the show. Today, we'll be looking at feminism again, but this time we're going to focus a bit on intersecting issues such as radical feminism versus liberal feminism. We're going to be talking about femmes processed in Paris this week. And we're also going to be talking about feminism and immigration issues with Laura from FemCells.
Hi.
And the challenges faced by migrant women, and then more broadly, feminists working within the No Borders organisation. If that hasn't whetted your appetite enough, later on in the show, I'm going to be talking to the most right-on feminist man I know, not to damn him with faint praise, with a male perspective on feminist analysis, and then we'll be wrapping up the show with hopefully a discussion on where feminism is in terms of the broader far-left movement. So welcome, Callum and Laura.
Hi.
To the show. So the Femen protest in Paris this week, we've been talking about it a little bit before the show. I don't know if either of you want to run down listeners on They're both pointing at each other. I don't think either of them wants to do it. Basically, for those of you who don't know, Femen are the group from Kiev in the Ukraine, and they do topless protests. On Sunday, they were bussed into Paris to get naked against Sharia law. Yeah. So, I don't know what you both...
Yeah, and I think what that raised for us was that a topless protest would mean a different thing in this country, that it would, in our sort of third wave, feminism would be fairly redundant, would be titillation as opposed to a challenge or a provocation. And whether or not in other cultures this sort of protest still is a threat to patriarchy and, has an effective purpose.
So, yeah, I mean, I was certainly kind of upset by it because obviously there's been quite a lot, at least two laws that have come in France this year. Mm. Is it that teachers are now not, female teachers are not allowed to wear the veil in schools anymore?
I know that the students aren't. I don't know.
It's anyone in any public spaces, okay. Government buildings, mm-hmm. Government-run hospitals, any public area.
Mm. I mean, I certainly feel like there's a conflict talking about... feminism and Muslim women and assuming that they're subjugated into following these religious practices. And I guess this kind of neatly moves into feminism and immigration issues. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you want to kind of give us it.
On the location as well, as people sort of were mentioning, like going to Paris, France in order to protest against the veil is like going to the heart of Ireland to protest against Protestantism. You know, it's, you've got like this captive audience. Like it's a place, a country that's probably more than anywhere in the world currently attacking women, Muslim women in the veil. And to go there and protest is just to reinforce the status quo. It's not actually a challenge or a protest.
I think, that we run the risk of... the women in this country, they're under... The pressure that they're under, the oppression that they're experiencing is probably more likely to be coming from the state. As likely to be coming from the state. And I think we run the risk of imposing our agenda or our specific perspective on it and not listening to the experiences of these women. And I think that is an issue with feminism engaging with immigration in a much wider context. I think that we need to make sure that the feminist movement doesn't like co-opt these experiences of these women that are really valuable, and recognise that, a lot of these women have been patronised and bullied but from a number of different organisations and in a number of different contexts. And they might not be culturally used to raising their voice, to speaking up and to being at the forefront of these things. But we really need to take our lead from them. And, it would be an insult to do otherwise.
So do you feel that the immigration system sort of uniquely fails immigrant and migrant women?
I think it definitely does. I mean, it fails immigrants in general, but women are sort of uniquely damned by the system in that, it's not even recognised. Gender oppression isn't even recognised as a valid grounds for seeking refuge, whilst you can speak to violence. There is no specific mandate for gender oppression. And the complexities of the situation that a lot of women come from, they're trying to prove to a hostile government acts of violence that happened behind closed doors thousands of miles away. And often, the system only allows a few weeks at most for the decision to go through until it's indefinitely shelved. And these women are being failed by the system. They were, until quite recently, being failed in a much more overt way as late as the late 1970s. Virginity tests were still being carried out on women who were coming into the country ensure that they really were valid wives or spouses that were coming into the country. And I don't think the system has come too far. I think that women are still persecuted in a lot of similar ways.
So, I mean, do you know much about the situation? Because obviously women are less likely to be migrant workers than men. And do you know much about, obviously, the unique situation that women left at home holding the baby face, which is obviously kind of slightly wide of the mark of immigration issues, but it's obviously interconnected.
I think that actually, I mean, whilst women are less likely to come over here, I think that we have a really skewed perspective on it, when in fact a third of all people that come over are women. And in other countries like America now, women are outnumbering men in terms of immigration. I know that doesn't quite answer your question, but I think, yeah, we need to first recognise that, you know, women are invisible, more invisible than men in this situation, but they are coming here. I do also think that, you know, women do face unique problems being left behind, and that we need to work to fight on these fronts in their home context. But I think, yeah, immediately we can start working with women who have managed to make it here, and there are a lot of them. They're just, yeah, really quite invisible.
And I think the government's like current press for quote-unquote skilled labor is discriminatory against women, particularly if they're in countries where they've been kept out of the workforce and kept away from training and skills and education. Then they're now also being pretty much banned from coming to the West in order to get in there due to the new government rules.
Did you notice anything? So were you in Calais working with No Borders, did I get that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you notice anything particularly issues associated with women while you were working there?
Well, the number of women migrants who make it to Cali is far, far lower. There is particular issues, but it's about a 30-40 to 1 sort of ratio between men and women, partly because of the very long trek, often across the Sahara, the Mediterranean, and to get it there.
So women who do make it here tend also to come through a man who is already here, so that they are also really vulnerable in those relationships, because, you know, they have a 2-year probation period where they have to prove that they're in this relationship, and during that time, they're incredibly vulnerable to violence being perpetrated against them.
So we're just going to take a break from all this serious chat now. We're going to listen to a song. This is Nelly McKay singing The Pearl.
Mic check, 1, 2. Jay-Z, fuck you. Kanye, you'll get it too.
I'm addicted to the thrill.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous love affair.
What's up?
Can't be scared.
We ain't scared.
Got a problem, tell me now.
Got a problem with y'all.
Only thing that's on my mind is who's gonna run this town tonight.
What's up? Yeah. You gonna run it? All right, we'll fight you then.
Yeah,
I said it, we all rip apart this nation. Don't pledge no allegiance. Sketch our fatigues are all black, everything. Black blocks masked up, all black, everything. The rocket really riding. Why they act like militants? Fuck Jay-Z, he's only about making millions. Rockefeller pyramids, Illuminati label. He don't give a fuck about you, only about his paper. I'm calling you out now while I'm rhyming on your track. You jacked our image and then you try to sell it back. But you just talking nonsense, real content is zero. You're whack promoting poison while you posing like a hero. And we know
life's a game, but it's not
it ain't fair.
I break the rules, so I don't care. I keep doing
breaking your laws.
Walking tall against
your rain.
Victories within the mile. Almost there, don't give a
foul. Don't give up.
Only thing that's on my mind is who's gonna run this town tonight.
What's up? Said it, we are split the throat of Caesar. Murder every lead, I'll burn the police cars. Jacking your beast, I'll breaking your copyright. Circle C laws to teach y'all that I can do it better. You a mason, huh? I guess that's why they sell your fuck your label. I'm a ride on these Rockefellers, standing tall against your rain, dissing you just for the pleasure. And you're right, I ain't spending no cake. Won't get into debt, spending money that I don't make. My whole team's dead broke, so it's class war, you rich fucks about to get choked.
Life's a game, but it's not fair. I break the rules, so
I don't care.
So I keep doing my own thing. Walking tall against the rain.
Against the rain.
Victories within the miles.
We're winning.
Almost there, don't
busy hearing Kanye on the radio. He should stick to making beats, cause he got the lamest flow. Plus he's a classist, sexist, homophobe. Wanna rip the blood diamonds right up on his earlobes. Police escorts, cause you a fucking asshole. Rolling with the pigs is something you'll get clapped for. That's right, once again, this is class war. And you're my next target, cause money's all you stand for. I know you think that you run things. You're an egomaniac, rocking all that blood bling. Disrespect my sisters, get smacked, stop frontin'. You about to drop revolutions on the upswing. Yeah, he's an ass and his raps lack meaning. Kanye, stop, I'm intervening. Cause you teaching kids greed. And I hope you choke on your next verse and stop breathing. Don't give a damn about commercial shit that you sing. Fuck the system is the only thing my crew think. You ain't overacting hard in videos you shooting. But we smash the windows of the shops you buy your shoes in. Firebombing the Louis Vuitton retail. You're the dawn of that, then your blood's gonna be spilled. We fighting for freedom in the streets, still in black lives. The Kanye rolls and cops, you know the hills squeal. Imagery, then putting Mao on your back, Jay-Z. Who the fuck do you think you are? Fuck you. What's up?
So there was a little mistake there. That was actually Testament doing Run This Town. I don't know if anyone's heard the Jay-Z, Kanye West, Rihanna original, but I have to say I definitely think that that's the superior version of the song. But I will play the Nelly McKay track at the end. That was my fault with the CD. So, Callum, I'm going to be giving you a really harsh grilling now as a male feminist. I hope you're ready. You can grip onto the desk and hope for the best. So when did you first start identifying as a feminist and why?
I guess it was at the same pace in which I became politically active in all spheres, because it's something affecting the majority of the world's population. So it's just something you have to, as you become aware of oppression and suffering, it's something you have to start identifying with.
And then I suppose this is kind of a similar question, but you can draw it out. You're a clever guy. What does feminism mean to you as a man? Like, how do you kind of relate these theories, which are so rooted in kind of feminine ideas?
I guess it means to me is just being able to be aware of, and as much as possible, identify with the fact that there is ongoing mass subjugation and oppression against women, and just being able to say that you're very aware of that and you're against it, and you take that stand and take on that idea.
So, Laura, what's your kind of idea about male feminists that's widening this?
Well, for a start, I think a lot of men say that they're male feminists and they're not, but I'm sure Callum isn't in that category. I think that, you know, men experience oppression, and I think that they, if we can point to where they experience oppression and they can understand that this intersects with where we experience oppression, and that it is in everyone's interest to address sexist oppression, that we can work together, that we don't have to be separatist or antagonistic, and that by them recognizing where they can exert their privilege, they can better fight the oppression that is so widespread in our society. It benefits everyone.
Sorry, I'm going off piste here with questions, but I was just reading an article yesterday, which is called I'm an anarchist, how can I be sexist? And one of the things that it brought up in the argument was that the way that men are oppressed by patriarchy is that they don't have so much scope for kind of emotional intelligence. Do you think that that's true, or where do you stand on that?
I think it's maybe true, but it's a complete fallacy to say that men are receiving the same level of oppression as women. Like, you just have to look at movies or all the popular culture to see that there is a much wider range of roles for men and all different types and appearances. Yes, there's some level of oppression, but it's just not on the same level. Any man who thinks we're not benefiting from male privilege is deluded.
Although it does depend on who the man is and who the woman in question is. For instance, if you had a privileged white woman in any given context, she may exert power through different mechanisms of oppression over, say, a black man that also need to be addressed. So yeah, it varies context to context, but I understand what you're saying.
Of course there's race and there's class privileges, mm-hmm. but every man benefits from male privilege in gender terms. Like, they may not have the class privilege, everyone has a male privilege if you're a man.
I'm going to open this up to both of you, but I'm going to start with Laura. With Callum. Have you talked feminism with a woman who doesn't regard herself as a feminist? And kind of what kind of conversation did you have?
I had one quite recently at the OK Cafe up in Manchester. I was talking with someone who was... We were talking about rape, really, and rape cases. And she was saying about how all rape accusations, that's one of the worst things a woman can do. The whole, it's just one word. And we were talking about that, and she sort of... She didn't want to identify herself as a feminist because of the popular culture. Like, anyone under 30 now has grown up in a backlash against the 70s feminism. Mm-hmm. And so we're actually probably in a more sexist society now than people growing up in the 70s. So the word feminist is a very tainted word, even though everything she... Apart from that, although we discussed that later. But in general, like, on women's rights and women's in the workplace and not subjugation, there were feminist views, but she held off that word, which is, I think, something that we really have to challenge.
Well, that's definitely something that I touched on the last show that I did with Yudette about feminism being a dirty word. I mean, Laura, have you spoken with women who don't regard themselves as a feminist?
Yeah, definitely. I think that a lot of the women that I've spoken to don't regard themselves as feminists in a similar way, are threatened by the implications of this identity, that they are going to then be a target, that they're going to be swatted down. And maybe not even that nuanced. Maybe it's just like, I think that some of them have had bad experiences with women who identify themselves as feminists as well. They have been victimized by the feminist movement. I think there are lots of valid and invalid reasons for the rejection of the term feminist, and I think anyone who calls themselves a feminist needs to really examine why that is. Yeah.
And so this was a question that was kind of contested when I brought it up before the show, which is to Callum, do you think there's a problem with sexist and misogynist attitudes within activist communities? And then sort of beyond that, like, I was asking, do you think, because I think that it's becoming more of a central issue now within activism, and you kind of weren't sure when I brought it up before. So,
certainly it's something that, I've been activist for all that long or that politically active, but certainly like several years now, like, people have been talking about it, so I'm not sure if it's central. I did experience when I was living at Dale Farm, there was a division of labor based on sex, on doing the manual labor, building the gates and doing the cooking and the tranquility issues, and that was something that we didn't really address very well, and it was something that several women recognized, but a lot of men were sort of la la la, I treat everyone mm-hmm. equal. And that was just, that was just last summer. And Occupy had their women and children space, which is, I'm going to bring up, because it just really annoyed me, the idea that the women and children, like, those groups all stay together. And they, when women want their own space, oh, there should be children there. I'm not sure it is being very well addressed.
Because my kind of pet theory on this is, just in the last 18 months, the far left movement has just kind of swelled because there's been so many political things going on for people to get engaged with. And my feeling on it was that as more women became involved in activism, it became more of a central issue, because you started with things like the slut walk, which was, a year mm-hmm. ago this week. And then since then, we've kind of moved through a lot of different issues. And now, for example, the term manichist seems to be in quite wide circulation. And that makes me think that maybe now is the time that it is going to be addressed by the movement. Because I feel like, as a movement, we can't move on until we sort out this as like an in-squabble.
Definitely. And I think that women in the movement are certainly talking about it a lot at the moment. I think that with things like Occupy, the safe spaces that are created for women and children are a result of like the immediate need to create those spaces, because they're very public arenas and we have no control over who's there, who's not. And even if we didn't, I think creating a safe space is step one, but it shouldn't be the aim. Obviously, integration is a lot harder. That's where we need to start focusing and coming together. But I do still think that safe spaces have a valid purpose.
I wasn't criticizing safe spaces as an idea. It was more the idea that in a very large occupation, the women and children, or like the dependent groups, you know, it's like the Titanic women and children first. It's just such an outdated concept. And in the space they had in St. Paul's, I think there was room. And that's not to criticize St. Paul's, just like in Del Farmer in Cali. This happens everywhere, I've been, you know.
And then I suppose to wrap up the program on a nice note, how can we interest more men in feminism?
It just seems to me so obvious. It's like, if we care, like in the far left or whatever you call yourself, Marxist anarchist, that's not actually enough to overthrow the decades of programming that you've had socially. You've been brought up into sexist. And if you care about oppression, if you think that there's still racism and there's still oppression and there's still sexism, how can you not be a feminist? It's just obvious.
For me, I feel like the issue is that because so many men who are activists, because so much part of their identity is being the good guy, they find it really, really difficult to confront the idea that they might have these internalized negative views.
Yeah, I think we need to create more safe spaces for men actually as well to explore their own sexist privilege, because I think that it is really hard to recognise those things within yourself. That's a real challenge.
Yeah, definitely. I think it is that people seem to think that just attaching a name, an anarchist, a Marxist, whatever, has countered that. But there is general recognition that there is still, that race is the big issue and needs to be discussed. It's just now accepting that that is also the true for gender and sex, and that if we can benefit from white privilege or upper class privilege, we can also benefit from male privilege, regardless of how we feel about that.
And then I suppose we've only got a couple more minutes, so I can't make it too awful for both of you. But I do want to talk about the pornography thing, because I do think as a feminist, it's the thing that's most, when I get negative views from men about being a feminist, pornography inevitably comes up. And I just want to know where both of you kind of stand on that. And I'll roll in. Callum's pointing at Laura.
And Laura's pointing at Callum. I'm going to ask you a question. How is that raised by men when you're talking to them about feminism?
Well, it's the whole, like, I hate the term sex positive, but the way that it's brought up to me by men is the idea of, like, oh, you're this really uptight feminist and you hate sex and you want to ban pornography. Whereas where I stand on it is that, you know, images of people having sex, whether it's moving image or static, is not inherently evil. My problem with pornography is that over the last sort of 100 years, it's become a commodity within capitalist society. And as such, it has to be homogenous, and it has to get more and more extreme in order to keep catering to its audience. And as a woman, I have a problem with that, and I do feel like it's impacting on my personal relationships and also on the way that men view me as a woman in the world.
Yeah, so, a man anyone who has just watched something that is incredibly violent towards women, quite often there's been a huge rise in violent pornography.
Yeah,
is going to go out and look at women in a different way,
and I don't think we can escape that. But at the same time, I don't want to make men feel bad, because I understand that these are really complex issues that we need to kind of.
I might want to make them feel a little bit bad,
they're so scared we're going to take porn away from them.
It's not pornography. The idea is just the porn. It's an industry. It's the same as, you know, pharmaceuticals isn't a bad thing, and it's the pharmaceutical industry. It's just again the capitalist issue, and it's the boring homogenous. And the extremism, and just like, it's just the complete soul crushingness of eroticism and sexuality of men and women and everyone.
Yeah, maybe we might get to have a lot more interesting, varied sex in real life if we stop focusing on these things.
So I think we've come to the end, so we'll leave it on that really positive, sexy note. And I really am going to play you Nellie McKay with The Pearl now. So your dad will be back next week.
Feminists don't have a sense of humor. Feminists just want to be alone. Ooh. Feminists spread vicious lies and rumors. They have a tumor on their funny bone. They say child molestation isn't funny. Ah ha 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 ha. Rape and degradation's just a crime.